father did nothing, really, just barely shared some words with him. But that was not enough. He should have. I mean, he should have totally hide off if he could, right? But you cannot allow those things to happen. God will hold you accountable for how you conduct things in the church, right? Here we see God actually saying to Samuel that, look, I'm going to have to take care of Eli, and I'm going to tell you why I'm going to do this to Eli. It says, therefore, there's a quote that I got, and I don't know if I get to it tonight, but Brother Branham made the comment. Can you imagine, here Samuel's dedicated to stay in this man's house. His mom said, you know, look, I'm giving you back to the Lord, and I want you to stay in this house. Here's the same guy that prayed spoke thus said the Lord that his mother would have a baby. Here come the baby living in his house, raised up in the house of the Lord, and now that same baby is coming to speak damnation. I would hate for that to be my situation. Right here, the child, I done dedicated this baby to the Lord at this church, and because I get off the word, that same baby I dedicated comes back and says, well, thus saith the Lord. That would be it. I just wouldn't want that to happen. See? Amen. But this is why we got to keep it straight, you know. In my day, man, it was tight. It was really tight, you know, in church. It was, y'all don't know what tight is, you know, but it was really tight. Some of the concerts and everything y'all go to, oh, we had problems going to some of them concerts. It was trouble, right? And you couldn't miss church. We was about to get an accident on the highway trying to come back home just to get in church. Right? I mean, leaving Daytona Beach 3 o'clock in the morning because you know you got to be in church at 10:30. And if you don't get there to church, you'll know what's going to happen. Right? I mean, there's a lot of things that we went through, you know, that, but I tell you what, it kept sin out. And oh my, yes, you was part of the choir. You wanted to sing. You knew what the requirements was. Right? You knew what it was, and nobody wanted to hit that office. As soon as you saw a person head to the office, your head just go to hanging. Oh, no, not another one. No, went down. You just didn't want to hear that, you know. But it's just a thing. It kept us in a spot where we didn't want to be the person that let everybody else down, right? So, I mean, it kept us motivated to kind of keep pressing on. But I'm glad that our pastor kept it so tight. Right? If he would just let us get away with anything, we would have sure got away with anything. But he kept it tight on us. And I wouldn't say unfortunately, I say fortunately I was raised that way. And by being raised that way, now I can keep it tight. Amen. It's an unpopular position. But amen, it has to be done. Amen. It has to be done. And again, this is scriptural. You look and see what happened with Eli. He was entrusted with something precious. You know, here he's handling the people of God. He's handling, amen, the law of God, handling all this. He's entrusted with something precious, but he pretty much does not treat it the way it should have been treated, right? And that's kind of the way the other thing I want to say, a calling is not something we should take lightly, right? And sometimes people say a calling in their life, let me just talk about this a little bit. I get into these scriptures in a little bit. But as you just even look at Samuel's life, amen, what was he doing to get this calling? He was doing nothing, right? He was just doing the man just going to sleep like any normal child would do, just going to sleep. But while he's sleeping, there's a voice speaking to him in the midst of his sleeping, waking him up out of his sleep, and he's so confused that he's going back to Eli because he's trusting Eli and what Eli's going to say. And, you know, he's confused because he didn't know the Lord at the time. He didn't understand what a calling was. So Eli began to kind of work with him in this manner. But the thing that I need you to see in this is that when God calls you, you have nothing to do with it, right? When God calls you, and another type that if I could just bring from this, notice how many times God called them. I wonder how many people God done called, and they went back to sleep on the calling. Huh? They went back to sleep on the calling that God. Now, and I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much you go back to sleep. If God call you, he's going to wake you up again. And he'll keep waking you up until you come to a place of complete surrender. Right? I mean, I don't care how many times. I mean, many people, oh, yeah, the Lord called me. The Lord told me to do this. And they get to doing it, and then next thing you know, they're not doing it no more. Right? But they heard the voice of the Lord. They going to sleep on their calling. Oh, man, I tell you what. People are doing it right now. They're going to sleep on the calling that God gave them. But if God has called you, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Amen. Bottom line, nothing you can do to stop it. When God got his mind set on you, he ain't looking for nobody else. Praise the Lord. See, and I mean, it's important that we understand that a calling is not anything you just get away from. You know, God has purpose. God has a plan. God has a reason as to why he's calling you to do a specific thing. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care how much you try to get somebody else to do your job. Now, I don't care how much you try to get somebody else to do it, some kind of way, God going to deal with you by doing what he told you to do. And whatever he's gifted you to do, he wants you to do it. Amen. Amen, church. We try to run from this thing. People try to fall asleep on their callings. But the voice of the Lord will speak again. Amen. And if he got to call you twice, Samuel. Yes, Lord. You know, God going to get your attention one way or the other. So it's just better just to surrender. It's like, Lord, okay, whatever you want from me, I'm just going to do. Amen. Praise the Lord anyway. And callings go into many of the other areas. It's not just being called to preach. Amen. It's not just being called to preach. God might call some of us into singing. And we try to put our gifts on the shelf. Huh? Music. When God calls you, don't put that gift on the shelf. You can't do it. Right? I mean, God, if God wants you to do a particular thing because he's put that in you, he ain't looking for nobody else to do it. Amen. He ain't looking for nobody else. And just like he waited on Samuel, he's waiting on you. All right. Praise the Lord. Ain't God good? All right. Let's keep reading here. He says, verse 13 again, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Now that to me is just powerful. Powerful. This man is getting in trouble for what his children did. You think about that. He is getting in trouble for what his children did. This is what Brother Branham said. That it's not children that are delinquent. It's parent delinquency. So parents, we have a responsibility. We can't just allow our children to do anything, even when they out of our house. Huh? They might not be in your house, but right is right and wrong is wrong. You still gonna have to tell them what's right and what's wrong, even if they're not even in the house. You know I raised you better than that. Right? You know I raised you better than that. I mean, we have to take, we have a responsibility. Not, well, they're not in my house no more, so I ain't got nothing to say. No, yes, you got a lot to say. I raised you better than that. You know you've been taught better than that. You should not be doing those things. Amen. Let your voice be heard. Even if they get tired of hearing your voice, still let it be heard. Amen, church. See, but when you really look at this, this man got in trouble for what his sons did, what his children did, not what he did. Well, actually, it is what he did, or what he failed to do. See, amen, what he failed to do is actually straighten them boys up. Amen. Now, you can't make your kids do nothing, but you can still tell them what's right and what's wrong. Now, I can't make you do right. The Holy Ghost one day gonna make you do right, but at least you need to know what's right and what's wrong. I want you to walk right over the top of all my words. You know, I would just tell them, you're going to have to fight to go to hell. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy. You're going to have to fight. You know what you're going to fight? Every word that I spoke to you. While you sleeping, I want these words coming back into your mind. I want them just banging up against your mind. And as soon as you get into a situation, I want you to think about what I said. And if you end up in jail, when you're sitting in the corner of the cell, think about what I said. Amen. Now, I wish my mama would have said. I wish my dad. No, you ain't going to have to wish none of that. You ain't going midst of it, I'm going to tell you right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, we gotta stand up and be parents. Amen. We got to stand up and be parents. That's what God called us to. Praise God. Amen. No matter, I mean, my grandma, 98 years old, my daddy was still her baby boy. My daddy almost 70, and he's still the baby boy. My grandma, and if grandma speak, yes, ma'am. 70 years old, still saying yes, ma'am. Yes, that's exactly right. And my daddy, the baby boy, his brothers and sisters are older than he is, and they still, yes, ma'am. Huh? Yeah. And now, if they can do that, and here you're a teenager? Come on. Yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. Amen. Look, you can't change who God made your parents. And sometimes we wish we could. Oh, I wish my parents were so holy. I just wished it. God gave you holy parents. And he gave you a friend, ungodly parents. But he gave you godly parents. Amen. He did that for a purpose. Amen. So, and your friend, they don't say nothing to you. They just do it wrong. Nobody say nothing. But you try to do the same thing. Every voice. Oh, yeah, you're going to hear from it. You hear it from the pulpit. You hear it in the back door, front door. Everywhere you go, you're going to hear the voice of God. All right. I just thank God for this. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 says, For I have told him that I would judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. You know, and see, iniquity is what you know to do right, but you choose not to do it. See, you know what's right, but you choose not to do it. So here, Eli, it was iniquity in his house. He knew what to do, but he chose not to do it. See? Amen. And Samuel lay until the morning, and let me just also throw this. There's a spirit in the land today. A spirit, a really bad spirit, where children are rising up against their parents and actually beating their parents. It's a really bad spirit. Children are rising up doing these type of things will beat their parents. Young man right now sitting in jail because he beat his daddy. See, don't let that devil anoint you. Just because mama and daddy say no, it ain't that bad. That you have to get so anointed. Now you think about hitting your parents, right? And you end up in jail over a no. The rest of your life is disrupted over just one no. So you watch that spirit, see? I mean, that's you know, I think that the Bible speaks that we'll be unthankful, unholy. We won't have respect unto our parents. And I mean, it talks about that spirit being here today. So the devil looking to anoint somebody in your anger, in your disappointment. The devil is looking to anoint you at that time to do something that you regret for the rest of your life. And I'm going to tell you something. You ever lay hands on your parents, sorry will never be good enough. Amen. Samuel, verse 15, Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. God, ain't that. Samuel lay until the morning. Well, you see how this is a faithful man. don't hear too much today, thus saith the Lord. Now, unfortunately, there's some people that say it a little bit too much. And like one person told me a long time ago, said, God does not talk as much as people say he talks. And I have to agree with that, right? I mean, every time you turn around, it's, thus saith the Lord. I hate to say it. I told y'all, just recently went to a church. And when I went to the church, you know, we're just there kind of worshiping and everything. And right before the service, you know, ends, I get singled out and I get a prophecy. Now, part of the prophecy, I'm going to take. Part of it, I don't know if it's true. Okay? The prophecy is, you're going to get 10 acres of land. I want that. You're going to get a church. You're going to get a school. You're going to get what? Daycare center. Okay, I'll take all that. You're going to build a city. I don't know about that. Right? I'm not sure about that. And I'm going to tell you, when you have prophecies that are going forth like that, you don't know what part to take and what part not to take, because if part of it is true and part of it is not true, then, you know, you really can't put any confidence in that. And we have a lot of people that prophesy in that manner, and you can't put your confidence in those type of prophecies. All right? Now, however, what they are doing is mimicking a true gift. All right? And what Samuel had was a true gift. He was not a person just going out and giving prophecies. He was a prophet of the Lord that could see things. Now, I just want to really work in this area here a little bit tonight if I can. Because the reason Brother Branham would, amen, get stirred up, because he knew God had also, from his birth, he was born a prophet. Not just a person going out giving prophecies, but he was a prophet born at this time where, again, the earth is in the same condition as it was in the days of Samuel. Amen. The word of the Lord was precious, and we had no open vision. We had no direct word from the Lord. God sent a prophet in this day with a direct word from the Lord, and all we got to do is follow that word from the Lord. God sent Moses in his day with a direct word from the Lord. That word was, let my people go. See, he had a direct, those people needed a direct word from the Lord. God sent it through the mouth of a prophet. Anytime God get ready to do anything on the earth, he always sends a prophet. Not prophets. One prophet comes with a direct word from the Lord to get the people ready. Now, 2,000 years ago, God sent a prophet to the land. And his name was John the Baptist. He came to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years before that, all right, the first 2,000 years, God sent a prophet. His name was Noah. And before God destroyed the earth with a flood, he sent a prophet with a direct word. And that direct word was, it is going to rain. And everybody that took for cover in the ark was spared. Everyone that, and I hate to say this, I just imagine how many people probably went to Noah's church and thought that Noah was a crank. And that, I don't know why you're preaching what you're preaching. I don't understand what you're preaching, but I'm leaving. It came a day where they wished they would stay in Noah's church. It came a day that they wished they would have stayed there. And it's unfortunate that same thing I'm repeat itself again today. Right? People can be so close to the truth, but unfortunately not able to commit to it. And by not being able to commit to it, they miss everything that God had for them. Amen. See, first 2,000 years, a prophet came, Noah. Second 2,000 years, a prophet came, John the Baptist. And always a direct word comes to the prophet. The last, amen, since Christ, amen, died and rose again, it's been a little over 2,000 years. God sent another prophet in this day. Open vision. Direct word from the Lord to help us get ready for a rapture. We're not off our rockers. Amen. We have something that we're holding to. God's word promised these things. And if the Bible is just not a Bible, a book of stories. But God is trying to get a message to his people, trying to get them ready for his second coming. Help us, Lord. We need a direct word from the Lord. If we would not have got a direct word from the Lord, we'd still be circling around right now trying to figure out, well, which one is right, Baptist, Pentecost, Presbyterian, Catholic, Lutheran, Episcopalian, you know. You just name all the different denominations that are out there. We all stumbled trying to figure out which one was right. Well, none of them are right. The only thing that's right is God's word. And God sends a prophet with a direct word from the Lord to bring the people back to what the Bible says. Not what the bishop says, but what the Bible says. Amen. All right, let me just kind of read a little bit here. I'm skipping down in the same quote to paragraph E31, just at the bottom of those scriptures there. And we'll go on and read this. It says, the voice of God, hearing his voice in that day was a rare thing. See, there was no open vision, and it was a rare thing, the real voice of God, because the people had gotten away. See, the real voice of God, because the people had gotten away. Now, that's the exact same thing it is today. It's a rare thing for people to hear the true voice of God. If you go back in Abraham's day, when Abraham was lying and telling Abimelech that was his sister, and he knew that Sarah was his wife, those people were so close to hearing God's voice that a king that was not even, he wasn't true Abraham's seed, but yet they lived in a state where God could even speak to that man in a dream and tell him, you touch that man's wife, you get his dead. Now, they were that close to God. They actually, they used to sleep at the temple waiting for God to give them a dream so they can get thus saith the Lord. Now, I wonder how many people want to do something like that today. We don't, not just sleep at the temple, we won't pray at the temple. Right? Amen. People don't really want to hear from God. Amen. But we really need the voice of God to speak to us. We need his voice to give us direction, instruction. A lot of our situations would be different if we heard from the Lord. Amen. Listen, because the people had gotten away, they had a church in that day that just didn't follow the commandments of the Lord. They had a minister by the name of Eli, and he got away from God by just teaching the precepts of what the people wanted to believe. Now, I might as well just say these things. I was just, you know, chatting with somebody, and they went to their pastor about something that was going on in the church. There was some people that were living an alternative lifestyle that were singing, you know, before the church. And they approached them and said, you know, that's wrong what y'all doing. Y'all can't live like that and then come up here and sing to the people. And the people with the alternative lifestyle said, you're judging us. You're judging. Now, that's the first word people always use. You know, you're judging us. And when you hear that, you kind of back up. You don't want to, I'm not trying to be judgmental. No, I'm not judging you. The Word of God says this. Read this scripture. You can see that that's wrong. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what God's Word says. Maybe you haven't read it, right? Read Romans 1, right? And they were just kind of sharing that with them. And then they say, you know, I'm not judging you. What I'm telling you is that the brakes are out on your car, and you're about to run off a cliff. So you need to get out that car as fast as you can. I'm not judging. I'm just trying to help you, right? So after they talked to the people, then they went to the pastor and told the pastor about what was going on. And the pastor said, oh, no, it's really not anything we can do about that. If the pastor can't do anything about it, then what kind of church is that going to become? Right? If the pastor can't stand up there and tell the truth to the people, what type of church will that become? Right? The pastor can't call sin, sin. Right? Call right, right, and wrong, wrong. Then what type of church will that become? That is the same thing that Eli would not call right, right, and wrong, wrong. Eli got not only himself in trouble, but his family got in trouble with God because of those actions. Now, I'm going to tell you, many ministers today will not tell the truth to the people, and there's many people that are going to end up lost because they didn't know. They're going to go to church every week. But because they can't come in line with what God's word says, it's going to create a problem at the end. Help us, Jesus. He got away from God by just teaching the precepts of what the people wanted to believe. Teaching the precepts. concepts of what the people wanted to believe. Now, you got to be careful of this. You can keep that quote there. But there's a scripture says that the people wanted to believe a lie so bad that God gave them over to this a spirit of a strong delusion, a lying spirit, allowed them to believe the lie, and not only believe the lie, but be damned by the lie. Don't ever get yourself in a situation like that. Lord, just give me the truth. Sometimes it might hurt, but still give me the truth. If that is a parallel to this day, he just taught the people, and he took his choice ones, and he had his sons to take the best of the flesh from their hooks out of the offering, and it just become a place where the offering was the main thing. Samuel just careless about the way he handled, I believe he's talking about Eli there. Eli careless about the way that he handled the commandments of the Lord, and the real word of God was a rare thing. That's the way it is today. We go to church. We find the people going in and having some great drive on. We want to make our denomination issue so many more. Bring your letter from your other church and unite with us in slogans like a million more and 44 and all such as that, trying to outgrow the next denomination. And in doing so, we've let the bars down of the Bible. We've got away and began to teach different things. The prophets spoke of these days that when they were teaching, would teach the man's doctrine and not God's doctrine. And we've seen so much of that, and it's gone on so long until the word of the Lord is a rare thing that someone can come and say, thus saith the Lord. Now, I remember going to a funeral some years ago, and the minister had over 1,000 people in that congregation and walked up there with a Bible in his hand and never read from it. I don't even think he even quoted the scripture out of it. I think he preached for about 5 or 6 minutes, 7 minutes or something like that, and never preached anything. And you heard people, after it was all said and done, you heard people saying, man, what a message. What was the message? What was the message? The man never even used his Bible in front of 1,000 people. The word of the Lord is precious again today. The word of the Lord is a rare thing that someone can come and say, thus saith the Lord. Now, we've had a lot of impersonations of that. Satan is really on the job. And many years gone by, people were afraid to say that unless it was the Lord. But today, they just don't care. Now, that's the other problem with this. Here, we want to hear, thus saith the Lord. Right? But because of the way that people misuse this, you're afraid to have them come around and say, thus saith the Lord. Everybody that uses it now, you just kind of, you question, you know, you really question it. But God did send us a prophet in the land. He's come and gone, but the words that we read, it was thus saith the Lord coming from that prophet. We can rest assured, we can bank our souls on. Amen. Listen, says today they just don't care, but it's a rare thing to hear the voice of the Lord and to find a person that can say, the Lord spoke to me. You notice that amongst the people anymore, that they hardly hear a time that when they say, the Lord spoke to me. When men and women used to pray all night and their homes were set in order by the book of the Lord, and God was first in their home. All right, I want to go on to this next quote here out of the Ark. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, amen, and I believe today it's precious again in our days. We have an open vision. We have a direct word from the Lord, and all we got to do is follow that, amen. Here in the Message of the Ark, there's three elements that people live in. First is the humanistic. Second is divine revelation. And third is vision. These are the three elements that people live in. First is the humanistic. Second is divine revelation. And third is vision. Now this, like in prayer, when you pray for anyone in humanistic, we say, well, I hope you'll get well. See, I'm hoping. I'm believing with you, trying to use all the faith that I can. That's human. That's a realm that we operate in as humans. Second is divine revelation. When something is revealed to you, you just know in your it's going to happen, yet there's nothing but just a revelation. And third is a vision. Of course, that's thus saith the Lord, that's perfect and positive. And see, and God's prophet, Brother Branham, in this day, God allowed him to kind of work in these realms. And we oftentimes, you listen to the tapes, you can hear him tell a person, thus saith the Lord. This going to happen, that's going to happen, or that this has happened in your life. If you make this part right, then God will do this. I mean, just when you had when you walked into that prayer line and you had a thus saith the Lord, it was as good as gold. All right, them sisters that received a thus saith the Lord, they had two conditions in their body. One, I think, had a growth, and the other one had a thing where she couldn't eat. Everything she would eat, it would just come back up, you know. And she got in that prayer line and was prayed for, thus saith the Lord, you are healed, right? And both sisters went home, and they still had those same conditions when they left the church. But by having the thus saith the Lord, it didn't matter how long the condition was there. They could hold on knowing that God was going to bring that healing to pass. And they kept going, and I think a couple weeks went by, and one of the sisters, she said she felt something happen on the inside of her body. She said, I just feel like eating. So she went and started getting herself some eggs together and, you know, some toast and ate a little bit. And she said she ate, nothing came up. Like, man, let me get me some more. Ate some more, nothing came up. She was operating underneath that thus saith the Lord. And she realized, man, I just got healed. Praise God. So she went taking off to run up the hill to go talk to her friend and let her friend know, God just healed me. And when she got there, she heard the friend just yelling and screaming. The growth that the friend had was gone. Thus saith the Lord had come to pass in their life. And Brother Branham said what it was, the angel of the Lord was passing through the neighborhood confirming the word that they had received. Now, I'm going to tell you, thus saith the Lord is right here in his word. And if we would take the word of God and put faith in the word of God, the angel of the Lord will pass through our neighborhoods and bring this word to pass. Hallelujah. When it says divine revelation, God allowed the prophet to go through that. He did not have a thus saith the Lord. At home one day reading his Bible and reading the story of Joseph. And he just, oh man, I just love Joseph. I love Joseph. I love the way this character in the Bible. And he heard the voice of the Lord said, you're going to have a Joseph. And he says, mine. So he started telling everybody, the Lord told me I'm going to have a Joseph. I'm going to have a Joseph. And when his wife got pregnant and had a baby, and it was a girl come out. And I forget which daughter, I think it was Sarah. Sarah was born. And so somebody said, oh, Brother Branham, I think you meant Josephine, not Joseph. It was Josephine. He said, no. God told me I'm going to have a Joseph. So after his wife had Sarah, the doctor was beginning to kind of tell him what she just went through in this pregnancy. She can't get pregnant anymore. She can't have any more children. You need to have an operation. Just kind of, he's like, I can't do that, doc. God told me that I'm going to have a Joseph. Now, he didn't have no vision. God never showed him a vision. It was just direct revelation that this is going to happen. And you got to understand this, that when God gives you direct revelation, yes, Satan will attack your revelation. Satan will make you prove that God gave you that revelation. But when God has given it to you, you just hold on. Don't look at everything else that's happening around you. Just hold on to what God gave you. Somehow, some way, sometime, it will come to pass. And Brother Branham kept holding to that. Like, I know what God told me. I know I done heard his voice before. And I know he told me. And doc, I'm sorry. I can't tell you. Say, if she have another baby, she'll die in labor. God didn't tell me that, but I know he's gonna have a Joseph. So after his wife started hearing all the news that the doctor was saying, she got pregnant again. She asked Brother Branham, say, is this gonna be Joseph? He said, dear, I don't know that this is gonna be Joseph, but I know you're gonna have a Joseph. I can't say this is Joseph. God didn't say that, but you are gonna have a Joseph. But what if I die? No, you can't die. You're gonna have a Joseph. And it just working his nerves all over. And even her nerves all worked over. But by the time that baby was born, little boy come out. She said, thank God for Joseph. God gave him a Joseph. It was by divine certain as I don't know what. Divine revelation also, I mean, it's just as certain if we just hold on to whatever God gave us. It's just as certain. But as we just kind of go through some of this, we're going to see what, you know, what this vision is all about. Direct word from the Lord. A direct word from the Lord. We can look at Brother Brown's life and see how God gave direct words time and time again. We can look at his life. And if God would do that for him, that same God is still moving today to do the same thing for us. God, sometimes, you know, sometimes there are people, and that's why you want the gifts of the Spirit flowing through the church. There's a gift of prophecy that's supposed to be in the body. Now, and that gift of prophecy could be on one person tonight and not on them anymore, but still that gift should be in the church floor. And it might go from one person to the next person to the next person, and that's fine. But the main thing that you're looking for is that somebody that you can trust that can, yeah, thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. That investment that you got your money in, I believe God wants you to move that. Or thus said the Lord, don't take that route that you're going tomorrow. Don't do that, but, because there's going to be a big accident there. Make sure, and next thing you know, you hear in the news, a big accident took place right there. People used to look forward to thus saith the Lord. But it got out of hand. I'll be honest with you, it got out of hand, because when it comes sometime, you keep going back to that same person, asking to get, you got a word from me? And people do that now. You can be anywhere. They want a word. They just want a word. It's a shame the way this goes. And I mean, I Christians are looking for this. They don't even read their Bible anymore. They get a word out of the Bible, right? But they look to certain people, and they always call these people up. You got a fresh word from the Lord? I got an email from somebody, and I'm like, I don't even have time to read it. I don't have time to read it. You know, it's some of it could be right, but I'm sure all of it's not right. But I got a source that I can go to. I can trust everything that was said, that it was thus saith the Lord. I can go to that because God gave us a prophet in this day. Amen. He always does that before he sends judgment in the land. He sends a prophet. We need to find out what that prophet is trying to speak to us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the spirit of prophecy, but we also thank God for a prophet. Amen. A true prophet that could come with thus saith the Lord. This is a day where the word of the Lord is precious. We need an open vision. Amen. And God has sent it. Direct word from the Lord. Let me see here. Let me just read this last one, and then we'll come back and just pick up more of this on next week. We have seen a star and have come to worship him. This message, the prophet speaks and makes this comment. It says, a spiritual dream interpreted or rightly interpreted is the same as a vision. Now notice it says spiritual dream. Not all dreams come from God. We need to just put it out there like that. Not every dream comes from God. But a spiritual dream is interpreted or rightly interpreted is the same as a vision. And what is a vision? A vision is the forecast of future events. It foretells a thing before it happens. And that's the way God always vindicated whether it was true or not, or whether the man that was in the Old Testament that was supposed to be a prophet, what he said come to pass. Then they know if this man said this and it kept constantly coming to pass, now that man cannot be hands laid on him, shook up, and give a gift. He is born with that gift, born in him when he's born, before he's born. See? I'm going to go in and read the rest of this, but the vision should foretell of a future event. Now, when people are calling themselves prophets nowadays, and here's something happens, and I knew that was going to happen. Well, if you knew it was going to happen, why didn't you say anything, right? But you get people like that try to be spiritual. I knew that was going to happen. I just felt it. I felt it in my spirit that was going to happen. Well, say something if you really believe that, and let us really put that to the test. Amen. See, but here it goes say, look at the prophet Isaiah prophesied of John 712 years before he was born. So that was a future event. He said he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Look at Jeremiah. Before he even was conceived in his mother's womb, amen, before he was even conceived in his mother's womb, while he was yet there, God said, I knew you and sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's what he spoke to Jeremiah. See, gifts and callings are without repentance. And you can only be, that can only work when there's something there for it to work with. Like if there's a right hand to work and you got a right hand, then let it work for the kingdom of God. If you got eyes to see, then see the right things. Lips, voice to speak, speak the right things. Whatever it is, do the right things and convert all you've got to God, to his glory. Or just saying, yield everything you got. And as we get deeper into this, I want to just even talk about a little bit, you know, the way that the Lord would use Brother Branham and the way his conscience and, you know, his subconscious and everything. That's a prophet. His subconscious and the conscience are very close together. That's why he can see visions. And we'll get into this probably next week where he talks about the dreams. And he says a person that, when you dream, you're actually dreaming in your subconscious. See, you're not dreaming in your conscious. Your conscience, that's actually what's resting, but the subconscious is still working. And so you can dream, and then when you dream, come back to your conscious state and kind of feel like you was somewhere in that dream. And you can remember exactly everything that happened in that subconscious state and bring it back over here to the conscious state and begin to explain that to people. See, now, a person that dreams, typically they are light sleepers. They don't sleep. They don't sleep very heavy. A person that doesn't dream, they usually, he says, now what happens with them, their subconscious and their conscious are so far apart. It's like, say, their subconscious is here. I mean, their conscious is here and their subconscious is at the back wall. They that far apart. They just never come together, right? So that's why they never have dreams. But and that person usually goes into a very deep sleep. No matter the earth could be shaking all around them, they would never feel it, right? Because they just, that's the way God made them. Oh my. You cannot change. You cannot pray, amen, before time and have God make you a certain way. You're just born the way that you were born, right? And once you understand these things, then it's very easy just to kind of function that way in the body. When you have people praying for gifts, something's wrong, right? If you got a true gift, your gift make room for itself. It just make room for itself. I mean, whether if you're a minister, you make room. God will make room for that ministering gift to go forth. If you had a gift where you can just throw down in the kitchen. Don't worry, something's gonna happen. You're gonna get in the kitchen and you're gonna throw it out, and people are gonna talk about how they enjoyed your food because that was a gift, right? So no matter if you got a gift to sing, you can be singing in the shower all your life. God gonna make room for you to sing at the church one day. God gonna make room. That's just the way this works. I mean, God always does that. You never have to fight to put yourself in no place. Amen. And you ain't got to be jealous of other people. Just do what God gave you to do, and it's gonna be a blessing to somebody. But more importantly, let it bless God. Amen. Let it bless God. We're going to come back and pick more of this up.